In this episode, an old school podcast with some editing. I talk about skin-tight spacesuits, dowsing, millionaire advertisements, murder in Rockport, the East Village Opera Company, and more. The Flata Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flata Show. That's the tab for my diet. Jose's taking a nap. Oh, sorry. Okay. We still have the X-File, which I now have a link to on the show notes. You can go to that link, find the page, and download it. It's about a half-hour-long musical piece. It's a little surprise. So whoever takes the time to do that can listen to it. I'm going to change it this week sometime. I haven't seen anybody download it, so I'll continue to do it because I know somebody will at some point. I have a phone number. You can reach me and leave a message. In fact, I will play my first phone message after this. I'll do it right now. I'll pause and I'll play that.
Hi, Kenty. This is Kenty, and I love your show. And my dog Jose loves the show. I think he loves Jose. He's gay for Jose. And I make jelly, too, and I live in Rockport. Wait, I think that this is the same Flata Show. In fact, I think I'm talking to myself. Now, I wish somebody else would call. Thank you. Bye.
Well, isn't that special? And you know what? It was me who called, so I need you to call and leave your comments, and I'll feature them. And that number is 206-339-JOSE. Okay, let's see what else is there. Okay, the House of Blue Leaves contest or whatever it is. It's not really a contest, just a little fun thing to play. To use jingle bells, but change lyrics and change the character of the music to create a whole new song, like the man did in the play House of Blue Leaves. So look it up if you don't know that play. If you ever have a chance to see it, I recommend it. I saw it on PBS with Swoozie Kurtz. I believe it was the original cast. Excellent, excellent play. So this week, I'm going to go over some things I saw in the newspapers, and some other things. So, first off, I saw this article the other day. Christian Science Monitor wrote, Samir S. Patel for the Christian Science Monitor wrote about this new biosuit that NASA is developing. And the thing that really, you know, made me take note was, and I read through this. The proposed biosuit, I'm quoting, the proposed biosuit will consist of a skin-tight bodysuit, a hard torso and a backpack. Okay, a skin-tight bodysuit. And I thought, why is it always skin-tight? I mean, what is this, Barbarella? You know, this is like science fiction. You always think of skin tight. So why is it so skin tight? Showing off your bulges and everything. And, ooh, Oh, so skin tight. I'm a space traveler. Oh, baby. Or that skin tight outfit that Edith Massey wears in Female Troubles. Ooh. Oh, I feel so much more comfortable. Or even Pia Zadora in that movie about Santa Claus conquering the Martians. So, yeah, skin-tight bodysuits. However, was reading through here, and there's a reason for it to be skin-tight. And they're bulky now, or, you know, the moon suits, right? Because it's mostly air and air pressure to keep the body. I guess your body needs to have a certain air pressure. Not air pressure, gravity pressure. Well, let's see. I don't know how to describe this. The atmosphere and the gravitational pull of Earth is different from Mars and the Moon. So this skin-tight bodysuit sort of takes the place of the atmosphere that you wouldn't be walking around in if you were on the Moon or Mars. So it really does have a practical application besides looking all sexy and everything. I wonder if they'll, a box area to make it look real sexy for the men. And likewise, okay, for all us fatties out there, we're going to have to lose weight because, these skin-tight suits are not going to look good if we all have to go to Mars. Do you really want to be walking around in a skin-tight suit showing off every bulge and cottage cheese thigh out there? No. Sarita. I don't like those, fatties in the pressing themselves all into that skin-tight suit. So, the thing is, they haven't even developed the right material, but they're going to use this smart materials. And they're going to be made out of alloys and all sorts of things. I think that's really neat. I'm yawning, and that's really boring for you. I'm sorry, but this is reality. Podcasting. Okay, so. The next thing, and this is because I was thinking about Madge Weinstein's yeast infection. I knew somebody, not for very long, by the name of Nard. And Nard, I met Nard in a psychic class. It was an adult class. I was in Pennsylvania. And I took it for fun. It was like how to develop your ESP. Well, Nard was in the class. And so one day, it was after the class had ended. It was actually over, the 12 weeks was up, and we got together, a group of us in the class, and thought, hey, wouldn't it be a good idea to continue this outside of the class? So, the first meeting was at my house. So, we picked Nard up at his house. He didn't drive. He was kind of a weirdo. And some other people, we went to my house. And Nard promptly says, I have to use the bathroom. Now, I don't know why we were out of toilet paper. We were out of toilet paper. He goes to the bathroom. And he goes, you're out of toilet paper. I'm like, uh-oh. So he's sitting on the toilet. We have to go out and get toilet paper. I open up the bathroom, throw it in the roll of toilet paper. This is 20 minutes after the fact. He's been sitting on the toilet. And so he goes, I have a yeast infection. Oh, so I was like, that was really disgusting. My mom looked at me. It's like, I didn't know he had a yeast infection. So we were like, cleaned up that toilet real well. We put on rubber gloves and got a blowtorch out and, it was awful. So anyway, Nard was into dowsing. And he used dowsing to try to find his yeast infection so the doctors could, eliminate it. Now, isn't that weird? So he used dowsing. So I found a website. It's https://members.tripod.com/ Tilda Reed, R-E-I-D, underscore J. And it just talks about dowsing, so you can learn all about dowsing there. And there's a dowsing prayer and things to ask. So before you begin the dowse, if you ever dowse, you have to ask whether you're allowed to. May I? Do I have permission to do this? Can I? Am I ready and able? And should I? Is it appropriate? And then there's a prayer. Dear God, / or insert, whatever you want to call God or the universe or whatever, please center me so that I may become a clear channel to your wisdom in order to raise my consciousness and the consciousness of those who come to me for advice and help. Protect me from all negative influences while I do thy work. So, that's what you say when you begin to douse. I know that I had read that there were people who doused for oil in Texas, I guess during the early part of the 20th century. And there was a farmer, my grandfather knew, who used to douse for water. And he would take, he used a forked fruit tree branch, and he would hold it and go through the field to find water to build wells. And everybody went to him, and he was very successful. No one complained about his dowsing. So who knows if it works? There's a lot of skeptics out there. And that's fine, you know. I'm skeptical, too. But if you have a it's an awful. I'm verklempt. See what else I'm going to find here. Oh, there's a British Society of Dowsers. There's also an American Society of Dowsers, so they're out there. So, you know, I think that'd be a really good thing to look into. That'd be fun. You know, have your rods. It also says that you can use wire hangers to douse with. Okay, next. Okay, these are advertisements, cracking the millionaire code, and they have these old farts looking up at you about their book. And it has pictures of ordinary people who have cracked the millionaire code, and it's really interesting to look at them. There's like sort of like a plain youngish housewife in their 30s. She made, Donna F., $627,500 in internet marketing. She's probably doing pornography. Next to her, Colleen B., she earned $1,333,700 in real estate. Now, she looks older. Next to her is a very fashionable-looking woman named Claudia F. She looks like she's in her 40s, so it's like a 30-ish-looking woman, fattish, maybe lives in a trailer park. Next to an older woman who's maybe in her 50s or early 60s, that's the one who won $1 million. And the first two look fairly plain. She probably lives in the house, owns her own house. The third one is this socialite. She has a pearl necklace on, coif. You know, she's smiling. She made $55,000 in real estate. So, you know, she's probably, I don't know what she does. She doesn't look like a housewife. She doesn't look like she's down on her knees. Next to Claudia is Jose E., who made $583,200 in internet marketing. Mm-hmm. That's right, Jose E. He looks like a real scum. Next to him is Segovia Asta. He's a young guy, like 20. He has his headphones on. He's smiling. He made $30,800 in internet marketing. Next to him is Paulie S., who looks like a big flamer with his bleached hair and his goatee. Looks a little on the fat side. A gay techie. He made $625,500 in internet marketing. Isn't that interesting? So these old people cracked the millionaire code. And, there's various instructors. And, I want to crack the millionaire code. I do, I do. No, I really don't want to crack the millionaire code. I wouldn't want to be associated with these people. They make me want to vomit. Okay, the next advertisement is also about money. But this one here is, let's see, it's called Attend a Free Cash Flow Generator Workshop. And it has these two midgets, I guess they run it, John and Greg Rice, have been teaching folks their millionaire techniques on TV. And it says, remember to always think big. So, if these two midgets can make it, I mean, certainly these normal-sized people can. But they're not making as much as the cracking the millionaire code, because there's this mom, a single mom, made $4,600 in her first sale. So it's a little, more believable. But it's still a ripoff. I mean, those midgets. Come on, midgets. We don't need this, won't you? What would they do if they remade the Wizard of Oz? Would they use midgets? Probably not. Okay. Homosexual reader is puzzled in Ask Amy. So I don't know if you get Ask Amy in your local. It's Chicago Tribune, so I don't know. Okay. This guy, he's talking about being gay and this lifestyle of being gay and he came out in the early 60s. Now, what does that mean, come out in the early 60s? No one came out until the 70s. I mean, that whole idea of coming out wasn't until later. So, his problem is that he doesn't fit in with gay. I mean, what he does in bed is not gay. I mean, he's homosexual, but not gay. And finally, I think Amy says, you're right. There's gay. It's private. Being homosexual or whatever is private. I don't know. So I could read the whole article here. I can't remember it because I can't remember exactly what I was going to say about this. Isn't this awful? If this were broadcast television, you wouldn't be listening to this. Maybe you shouldn't be. Who knows? But a guy, Josh Tagger from Planet Out, says that gay pride is the natural reaction of people who have been shamed for so long. But really, it's all semantics. Tiger points out, we are all the sum of all of our characteristics. Gay versus homosexual is an artificial distinction. He says your attitude that your sexuality is private, not necessarily a lifestyle, actually puts you on the forefront of where gay culture is headed. And you know what? It is true. My sexuality is private. It's not for everybody. But you know what? We're gay. And that means that we have to put it in people's faces because, you know what, we do fit in. I have a lot of, straight friends, and I hate to even say that. A lot of my friends, or let's put it this way, I can get along with a group of people who are predominantly straight. And if I don't say anything, they're just going to assume you're straight. That's the problem. And that is why we have to open our fucking mouths and let people know. And it really annoys me because I don't think I really have to. I'm getting really tired of it. But at the same time, silence is death. Silence is death. Let's talk about that. Early 80s. Or actually, mid 80s. to late 80s. Gay activism. Silence is death. Silence is death. But I'm tired of being, you know, talk about it all the time. It's like, gay, gay, gay. This is my partner. That's what I say. I don't say I'm gay. I say, this is my partner, and we have the same bed. You know, that answers it. I'm not telling them anything. They don't, you know, they don't need to know. They just need to know that I have chosen a life with another man and building a family, that we are a family. Гитары звонко чуть тише, аккордом звучит пронесется, и сердце чуткое проснется, спеши, крадется, спеши. Но танец ровный сперва, но танец ровный сперва. Okay. Rockport Nightmare. First murder in 30 years. One paper described the house as a gambrel. And let's see, the picture of the Herald, the Boston Herald, there's a black cat in the window. It's really good. I've seen the house. I should take pictures of it and put it on my line. But the thing is that these people rented in Rockport. I know that sounds awful. It sounds very Tony and everything, you know. But it's true. This guy here is from Beverly, and he's been in jail before. He's a real loser. And his girlfriend comes from Gloucester, which is not a bad town. But they're out of towners. They don't own in Rockport. But what I found is, right, the day after, or soon after, they found this guy. Now, you don't even know what I'm talking about. The first murder. They rented this place, and apparently he murdered his girlfriend and kept her wrapped up in a sheet in the house on the sofa for 3 weeks. Didn't say anything, didn't bury her, and the neighbor found out and called the police. They found him. 3 weeks. She had maggots all over her. 3 weeks. And, you know, it's right near the gas station. I mean, I know the house, you know. I was like, for 3 weeks? This has been going on. I mean, friends, listeners, this could be happening in your town. So they got him. And a few days after, the police gave they were renting the house, right? The man who owned the house talked to the police, and they suggested this company to come out and clean it. It's like cleans up, you know, after death scenes and stuff. But that was right away. I mean, don't they have to? I hope they got all the evidence they needed. It just seemed like it was too quick. Okay, next, the Metro, I saw this. The East Village Opera Company, which sounded really cool. They play opera, but they sort of make it into, they play it with guitars and stuff and make it sort of rock. And I thought that sounded really cool because I always wanted to hear opera sung sort of like in a jazz style. And specifically, it's like Maria Stuarda, the mad scene, the last scene of Maria Stuarda, where she's going to have her head, she's going to be beheaded, or the end of Anna Bolena. I think they would make really great jazz things. Jazzy arrangement. And someday maybe I'll try to sing those in the jazz style that I can hear it in my head. But I'm yawning. And I'm going to end this podcast.
You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can email me at kenty@kenstefflersmusic.com. Thank you for listening.